This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 85, a review of some inkjet printing papers. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 85th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, I was going to do a review of some inkjet printing papers, and I'm also going to give some cautionary words of advice when printing on inkjet printing papers. We're going to review two papers this week. It's going to be two papers by Hanemuehl. One is a matte textured paper called German Etching, and the other one is a glossy paper called Fine Art Baryta. Both are really good. Stay tuned. I'll review them in a sec. But before I do, I always like to thank people for their comments on our last podcast, number 84, where we talked about a back button autofocusing. Rob VE, Richard, and F8&B there all left comments. They thought it was a useful podcast. And F8&B there left a really great comment. So I'm going to read it now, actually. Just to recap, in case someone is just joining us now and didn't listen to our last podcast, basically back button autofocusing allows you to use one of the buttons on the back of your camera to do the autofocusing, and then it allows the shutter release to only release the shutter. So whenever you press the shutter, it's never going to autofocus anymore. And if you want to listen to why that's a useful thing to do, just listen to podcast number 84. But anyway, F8's great comment was, another very good discussion in a podcast is by the Nikonian Image Doctors. I'll put the link in the show notes. I don't shoot so much sports and wildlife, but I've been using the technique exclusively for almost a few years now. And the big thing for me is how easy it makes focus and recompose. I usually like to shoot with the AF set to center point, but having the AF tied to the shutter button just makes me uncomfortable. I guess it's my own lack of dexterity. I just think getting that half press and hold thing right just doesn't work for me. I'm always tripping the shutter or releasing pressure, causing the AF to refocus when I don't want it to. The AF on technique solves all that for me, and I could never go back now. For example, when portrait shooting, I can put the AF point right over my subject's eye, hit the AF on button, and then recompose as desired, not worrying about the shutter button messing up my focus. So it's not only great for moving subjects in dynamic AF mode. One last important point for Nikon shooting using VR lenses, not sure if it applies to Canon image stabilization or others, on current Nikon bodies, the AF on button will not engage VR. Only the shutter button can do that. And since it takes a brief moment for the VR system to engage, the time that a normal AF shooter would half press the shutter to grab focus, an AF on shooter using VR may have to just give a quick light press to the shutter button before snapping. And that indeed is a very useful tip. Thanks so much, F8, for leaving it. Much appreciated. Okay then, so let's just get right into today's podcast. And the reason I'm testing papers, and this will be the first of several or many podcasts where I'm going to be reviewing and discussing inkjet printing papers, is I just bought a new Epson printer. I purchased the 3880. And one of the reasons I did so was because I wanted to start making bigger prints, and my last printer couldn't do 17x22, and this one can, so that's why I purchased the printer. I must say that my first instinct is that this is an excellent printer. It's doing a really good job, both on my black and white photos and my color photos, and I'm really enjoying it thus far. So because I got this new printer, I have had all these papers that I've been wanting to test, and of course that's what I've been doing, so I figured let's just talk about some inkjet papers. If I'm interested in them, loads of other people are. And inkjet papers these days, I don't know if it's been a while since you guys have checked them out. I'm kind of a paper freak a bit. I love different papers, different tones. You know, talk to me about white, ivory, cream, beige. I love it all. You know, sometimes the differences between papers are very subtle, but it really allows you to have your artistic, you know, flair. It allows you to be creative just in choosing the paper. Certain papers will work better with some subjects than other papers, and it's a great time to be an inkjet printer these days because of the awesome variety of papers that you get. Matte, glossy, satin, pearl, textured, non-textured, canvas, watercolor. It's really unbelievable, the variety out there. You know, at the end of the day, we make our pictures. You know, a lot of us, I would say the vast majority of us these days, we put stuff on the web more than we print them. But there is nothing, you know, and I'm an old fuddy-duddy here, but there's nothing like holding an actual print in your hands. I grew up in the darkroom world, so at the end of the day, we got to look at an actual print and not a computer screen, and there's just something magical about holding a finely crafted print in your hand, and that's why we're doing this podcast. So, in terms of the print, Ansel Adams isn't around, but he called the negative the score, and he called the print as the performance. So the negative, obviously, you know, with good exposure, good contrast control, being aware of the good light, that's where you're going to get all the delicious information into your file. It's not the negative anymore, it's the digital file, but it's the exact same thing. But at the end of the day, I mean, the performance, I guess it can be on a monitor, but because everyone's monitor is so different, it's hard to get one universal standard. But when something is printed, you're only looking at it one way, if you're lucky enough to visit the actual print. So anyway, the print is indeed the performance, and it should be as good as you can make it. So with good printing technique, which is something for another podcast, something for a course perhaps, good printing technique, but if you already have good printing technique, the paper can enhance what you've done. Now some background information. In order to get that performance to be the highest quality possible, we need to cover some basics on monitor calibration. Because at the end of the day, these days, most people are working on their prints, not in the darkroom, but on their monitors. And if you have not calibrated your monitor and you're going to try and make prints, it's going to be a friggin' nightmare. Let me tell you, a friggin' nightmare. Because you need to have some standard by which to base the printing on. Monitors these days, most monitors are multi-purpose. So, you know, they're made for text, they're made for gaming, maybe photography, but they're bright. You know, when you look at an average monitor, it is way too bright. And that's partially because gamers like things nice and bright, but that's terrible for photography, actually. So in order to get your monitor to some sort of standard, you will need to calibrate it. We actually covered monitor calibration in podcasts 62 and 63. Links to go in the show notes. So I'm not going to really get into what that is. You can listen to those podcasts. But at the end of the day, you're looking at a piece of software and hardware, something that measures what's coming off your monitor, and then it readjusts it according to some standard. And that will get you a crazy amount of the way there. It's unbelievable how different your monitor will look after it's calibrated. You may not like it, but your pictures will look better. Typically, once you calibrate your monitor, it's going to look duller, and that's going to take a bit of time to get used to. But when you print from a monitor that's properly calibrated, what you get from your printer is going to be much better than had you not calibrated. Some common calibrators that people are using are the Spider. I'm using the i1, which is a bit high-end, but it's absolutely amazing. So I can definitely vouch for the i1. But a lot of people are using the Spider and they like it. It's cheaper. And again, I'll put some links in the show notes. So the monitor being calibrated is part one. And now you have to tweak what comes out of your printer. And there's two main ways to do this. One way is to use the ICC profile of the paper. So basically, paper manufacturers have done a lot of research already, and they want to make your life easier. They want you to buy their paper. So they have created ICC profiles for you. And what those profiles are just generic profiles that work with your printer, and you download those profiles from the paper manufacturer. You put them into the drivers folder in your computer. And then when you try and print from it, you correctly match the paper you're printing on in the dialog box of your graphics program, and you get pretty, pretty close. And that's the easy way to do it. And that's the way I've done it for these two papers. And the better way to do it, which I have done in the past, but I haven't done it for here, and it's really because it's just so much faster just to use their ICC profile and see what you get. But at the end of the day, you know, what ink you use, how old the ink is, you know, how old the printer is. All these are going to come into play when you're trying to get print that looks like what your monitor looks like. So basically, the best way to do this is to take a piece of paper that you're going to be using, run that paper through your printer. Your printer will print out a pattern, and then you'll measure the pattern using special equipment. And that's really the best way to do it. The i1 system that I have can do calibration on a printer, but the Spider cannot. The Spider only does the monitor. So really, at the end of the day, if you want to get fanatical about your printing, you're going to want to be spending some time testing and measuring the measurements that come off of colored squares from a pattern that's being printed on whatever printer paper you are using. Hope that made sense. So like I said, that's the best way to do it, but you need special hardware, a great start is just using the ICC profiles that come with the paper. I should say that if you're using really funky paper, it may not have an ICC profile, but certainly all the big brands, the Honeymule models that I'm going to describe today, they have ICC profiles. Most of the main big players, they have ICC profiles that you could download and dump into your driver's folder. So the two papers that I tested today were German Etching and Fine Art Baryta. And these are both heavier papers, and they're both made by Honeymule, which is a German company that's been making papers for hundreds of years. I should say that I'm from the darkroom world, so I like my papers to have weight. I want to feel the weight of a good photo in my hand. You know, sometimes you'll print crap from a pharmacy or Walmart or something like this, and it's like paper thin. It's almost translucent. That's not a real photograph for me. Like I said, I'm from the old school, and I like my papers to have weight. I want to feel it. Especially for fine art printers that are trying to sell their work, you know, you'll see people trying to sell their work anywhere from $50 to $1,000 for a 16 by 20, something like that. Really, if you're selling your stuff for like a lot of money, in my opinion, you're being totally cheap if you're using a cheap photo paper. You got to use kick-ass photo paper, and both of these are kick-ass papers. So here we go. So the first paper I tried was a German Etching paper by Honeymule, and this is a thicker paper. It's 310 GSM. GSM is a measure of thickness. I'm not a paper expert, but I believe it's a measure of thickness, and the higher number you go, the thicker the paper is going to be. So this German Etching paper is a textured matte paper. The color, I mean, you're going to get into, you know, varieties and adjectives here, but I call the color, it's a creamy white, so it's not white or bright white, it's a creamy white. It's got a hint of beige or yellow in there, and it's warmish to the eye a little bit. You know, as you compare paper per paper, you know, like holding them side by side, you can actually see the difference. Some papers are slightly cooler or bluer, and then some are slightly warmer. Again, you'll just notice these things because there's so many different varieties. But anyway, I printed two test shots using this paper, and you can see those shots in the show notes if you want to take a look. I'm going to try and scan the texture of the paper. I don't know how well it'll scan, but I'll give it my best shot. Anyway, so I did two. I shot a model, like a live human model with one, and I liked it. I must say the textured aspect of the paper gave a really interesting look to the background, but the texture in the face of the model, it bothered me a little bit. I think that's personal taste. I'm not convinced it'll bother everyone, but it did bother me a little bit. So for the portrait I took, I'm not sure, unless I wanted a special effect, how often I would use this for a portrait. But many people have, really. It's at this stage of the game where you're looking at the differences in minute texture on the surface of a paper, it really is a personal preference. And then the second image I printed with it is I printed a landscape of a sepia-like photograph that I took at Volcanoes National Park in Hawaii a couple of months ago. I captured some of the steam vents and steam, and I must say I really, really like the way that image turned out. You can see the texture in the paper, but for me, it adds. So, you know, that's basically my synopsis. The texture did not bother me at all. You can see the texture in the paper with the landscape that I'm talking about, but it did not bother me at all. And in a second, I would use this paper again, you know, if I wanted to do a series. What you should know about printing papers is that you may not want to use too many. It's fun to experiment to find out which ones you love. I mean, I'm doing it for podcasting, so I'll likely test 50 papers in the next few years. But most people just want one or two, and then you can use those. So, you know, maybe one for landscapes and one for portraits or what have you. There's no hard and fast rules, but you need to know that you're going to need ICC profiles, or you're going to need to calibrate your printer if you want good looking results from your prints, or easy results from your prints. And then the next paper that I tested was Fine Art Baryta, again by Honeymule. This one is 325 GSM, which is a little thicker than the last one. And this inkjet paper is glossy white. It's not incredibly glossy, but it does have a bit of gloss on it. And there's also a slight texture to the paper as well. This is an amazing feeling paper. And this feels like the traditional fiber-based darkroom paper that I used to print with in the darkroom years ago. It really does. It just feels great in your hand. The blacks are very, very deep, and I printed two shots with this, one color, one black and white. And the black and white shot that I did, I wish there were more tones in it. I shot it on a really wintry day, so it's quite high contrast, but the blacks are indeed deep, and the whites are revealed with a good texture. I'm going to scan it in so people can take a look at the show notes, but I definitely recommend this paper for landscapes. Definitely, definitely, definitely. And again, it just feels great in your hand. It's a beautiful, heavyweight paper. Highly recommended. I did another shot as well, a portrait using the same paper, and I really liked it for the portrait as well. Although again, if you look super, super close, you can see a small texture on the paper. Didn't bother me one bit. I really like the texture. It adds to it. Again, it's barely noticeable, but it gives the paper itself a little bit of detail. We call the texture on a paper tooth. It has just a teeny bit of tooth, and it's really, really nice, and highly recommended. So again, if you're looking for thicker papers, both of these papers come highly recommended. The German etching paper by Hanemuehl that I spoke of before, and this Fine Art Baryta, again from Hanemuehl, both highly recommended. And you can really play with these and have a good time. I should tell you that they're not incredibly cheap. You're looking at about 40 Canadian, maybe it's cheaper in the States, about 40 to 50 Canadian dollars per box of 20 sheets. So you're looking at a little over $2 a sheet. So it's definitely not dirt cheap, but you are paying for quality papers here. And again, their ICC profiles, I gotta say, they were pretty accurate. I had to make very minor modifications from what I saw on my screen. My first test print was, I would say, 91 or 92% there. Just looking on my monitor, pressing print, very little tweaking to be done. I expect, as mentioned before, that had I actually done the printer calibration on that paper by printing patches and then measuring the density of those patches, that would have been even closer. But again, for time's sake, 92% of the way is pretty good in my opinion. So again, great ICC profiles, beautiful papers, heavyweight, one matte, one glossy. Take your choice, both highly recommended. And that's going to do it for me for these two papers, but I am going to be testing many more papers, and I have bunches already lined up. So if you're into paper, stay tuned. I'm going to be reviewing a whole bunch of them. In terms of the assignment on the photography.ca forum, this month the assignment is leading lines and or perspective. Incredible shots as always. The level of skill just keeps rising and rising and rising. But if you're a lurker, don't be afraid to join. We're a really friendly bunch. We talk about how friendly we are on the forum to new members. So please don't be shy. Join and you can learn and share. It's a really warm environment, actually. As mentioned on the last podcast, a bunch of us have put together a little side project. It's called publicphotography.org. And again, on the second Saturday of September of this year, which happens to be September 11th, bunches of us are just going to go out, shoot photography in public spaces. Lately, photographers have been getting hassled for shooting in public spaces, so you could check out publicphotography.org to kind of see what we're all about, and maybe you want to join and take pictures in public on September 11. You'll post it to your own stream and perhaps hopefully our Flickr stream and our Facebook group. Links will go in the show notes. And hopefully we can make a small stand saying that we're just photographic artists, we're doing nothing wrong, so maybe you should stop hassling us, because some of us are being hassled. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. As always, you can get in contact with me in any of a numerous amount of ways on the forum. Just check out the forums on photography.ca. You can send comments directly to the blog, which is our preferred way to get the comments, photography.ca/blog. And of course, you can send me an email at any time, photography.ca@gmail.com. A lot of people just send quick emails just to say thanks, and that's just so appreciated. If you wanted to show your appreciation even more, we have a testimonials link on the photography.ca site, and you could put whatever you want up there, critiques, comments, and it's greatly appreciated. And of course, if you wanted to leave a review at iTunes, that would be great as well, and I'll put the link in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. There's so many photographers out now. It's like we don't even need any inspiration. Everywhere we go, it's so beautiful. Photographers are out en masse, but if you're one of those people that are still inside and still not sure what they're going to shoot, just get out there. Maybe just try shooting 20 steps from your door, shoot from a different angle, try shooting subjects that you're not necessarily comfortable with, just to get you more at ease. But whatever you do, just get out there, keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.